Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church and happy Thanksgiving to all. Our scripture text is taken from Psalm 100 and verse 4, which is found within the context of Psalm 100, which is only five verses long. This is also known as the Old 100th Psalm, entitled A Psalm of Thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So we are exhorted to enter into God's gates and His courts for public worship this morning. Israel would come to God's temple, and we come to the church as the called out assembly instituted by Jesus Christ. We come and we assemble in the Lord's house on a weekly basis according to the divine command. Now in both dispensations, the Old Testament and the New Testament, each of us is called to come with ready and humble hearts and minds. As God has said, He said, give me your heart, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So this morning, we shall come to the great city of God called Thanksgiving. And we do so after the manner of allegory or parable, fully loaded with Bible verses fitly spoken. Divine truths in their applications. And so as we approach the city of Thanksgiving this morning, we realize that it is an often neglected, quite an uncommon destination. Perhaps 1 in 10 come to give thanks, even among those persons whom the Lord of the city has Himself healed. Of those 10 lepers healed by the direct hand of God, only one returned. Now, the suburbs of the city of Thanksgiving actually are considerably more crowded. They all seem to have a good number of year-round residents compared to the city of Thanksgiving. So as we approach, we pass through three of them. The first suburban city, which actually dwarfs the city of Thanksgiving, is called Pitypot. It's led by Mayor Jonah. It is a true report that you have heard about how He responded to revival in Nineveh. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. He went the other way, the complete opposite direction. Jonah was divinely brought back by the agency of a great fish, and he reluctantly went to the city of Nineveh, quietly preaching, muttering under his breath, repent. Well, the people of Nineveh heard Jonah's message and heeded it from the greatest to the least. And we read in the scriptures that it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And for the rest of Jonah chapter 4, Jonah stays on his pity pot. And we don't read of a record wherever he gets off. And so we presume that he founded his own city there outside Nineveh and called it after his own counsel, the city of pity pot. The next is called entitlement. The city of entitlement. And the city of entitlement has its mayor as well, Mayor Leach. You might have heard of him. And he's got two daughters. And his daughters' name are Give and Give. You can find this right in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 15. Mayor Leach and his two daughters run this city. And this place is unkept and bankrupt. None of the able-bodied residents will work. And therefore, neither would they eat if it were not for the great support of the Enabler family. The third suburban city we find is called Taken for Granted. This city is led by Mayor Nabal. He goes down to the town of Christmas for the month of December, but for the most part, better part of the year, he stays in the city called Taken for Granted. So he's there 11 months of the year. And manages. He's the manager of the Inn of the World. You might remember him. And like Nabal, everybody in this town lives for pleasure. Because they live for pleasure, their marriages and their homes are in shambles. They're divorced. There's no peace. There's arguing, fighting. Nobody ever says grace before a meal, much less after a meal. And so behold, we've made it through these three cities, and hopefully they're not our stopping points this morning. And we've arrived at the gate of the city of Thanksgiving. Now the scripture says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Now there may be some this morning who cannot enter in because they have neither thanksgiving nor praise. But when we come to the city watchman will tell us where we can get both, that we might enter. For thanksgiving, we must go to the outskirts of Bethsaida. And for praise, we must go to the field of four reasons. So come now and behold the goings-on at the outskirts of Bethsaida. We come and we see a field, an open place, and the Lord himself is there, and there are lots and lots of people here who have come to hear him this day. And Jesus has lifted up his eyes in prayer, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But he said this to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Do you see how God provides for all of our basic physical needs? And how he even meets our spiritual needs as well, if we're open to it, if we're willing to let him. So let us each take thanksgiving back to the city with us. The thanksgiving that we found on the outskirts of Bethsaida, so that we can enter into its gates this morning. But we don't need just thanksgiving to get into the city. We also need praise. We're going to have to go a little bit out of the way for that, but surely the spiritually hungry are willing to expend the extra effort. We must get praise at the inn of four reasons. The Apostle Peter has preached there, and the folks who dwell in the field have hidden his words in plain sight in that place. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Those who have been chosen for salvation have four great reasons to find praise in this field. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's own special people. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe that he paid the penalty for your sins once for all, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again? Well then, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people. And so maybe you came to this field, to this place, thinking that you didn't particularly have too much to praise God for. Maybe you woke up this morning, it's raining, it's cold, it's damp, it's raw, I don't feel good. But there are plenty of reasons to praise God this morning and sing a song to him in your heart. And you'll actually be a little bit better off if you go to the City of Thanksgiving today than Pity Pot or one of those other places. In the field of four reasons, if we're lucky, we may run into certain shepherds who often come to Thanksgiving from the town of Christmas. Well, now that we all have Thanksgiving and praise, we have free access to the City of Thanksgiving. So come on in. Let's enter it this morning. Let us proclaim we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Therefore, be thankful to him and bless his name. We are in good company here in the City of Thanksgiving, so be of good cheer. The good Lord of Thanksgiving has some servants who are so miserable that they can't be of much use right now. Well, let them keep company with Jonah for a little while, and perhaps they'll come out of it. Perhaps they will hear, and they will heed the Lord's admonitions, just as the king of Nineveh and all of his subjects did, and repent in sackcloth and ashes and come in later. Let's pray for these. Let us pray for these. Look, David is here in the City of Thanksgiving, and he's singing the 26th Psalm right in the courts. I will wash my hands in innocence. So I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. You know, David had a lot on his mind. He had a lot on his plate. He had a lot of responsibility. He was the king of a great nation. And he would try to the best of his ability to lead it in godly fashion. He failed a whole bunch of times. We read about it in God's word. But God knew David's heart. And David always looked forward to coming back to the city of thanksgiving, to God's house each and every week, to find some peace, some refreshment, and some nourishment for his weary soul. We also find Paul here in the city of thanksgiving, and not too many people have appraised like the Apostle Paul in the scriptures. In the book of Philippians, which he wrote from prison, he says this: "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Therefore," Paul was anxious for nothing, "but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, he would let his requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, would guard his heart and his mind through Christ Jesus." And it'll do the same for you, friends. Do the same for you today. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Prayer without thanksgiving, it's like, you know, chocolate chip cookies without the chocolate chips, or Thanksgiving without the turkey, lasagna without cheese. Pick your analogy. Thanksgiving and prayer are integral. Prayer is not really prayer unless there's a heart of thanksgiving behind it. So now the best thing, the very best thing about a visit to the city of thanksgiving is that you can meet Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, God, and Savior there. If you are in thanksgiving now, why not thank him for his daily provision, for making a relationship with God possible by shedding his blood and dying to satisfy the Father's wrath against sin, God's holy requirement. Thank him for answered prayer, for never leaving nor forsaking you, as he promised. And we've got a recipe in the back there. There's a piece of paper with 16 reasons, 16 different scriptures that can be brought to bear. A recipe for thanksgiving. Even though you may have left and forsaken God, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Well, maybe you've never known Jesus as your God and Savior. Well, this morning, if you find yourself standing at the gate of the city of thanksgiving, if you've gone out into the field outside Bethsaida and learned of the provision of Christ and what it is to be thankful and brought that with you, if you learn to praise like Peter and David and Paul praised, you can knock on that gate this morning. And on the authority of God's word, Jesus will in no wise cast you out. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Men may kick you to the curb, but the Lord's not like that. Our great God and Savior, the Lord of the City of Thanksgiving, will never deny the sincere seeker entrance. So please stay in the city for a while, but if you must go, eventually we all have to go, right? And go back out into the world and go about our business, back to the daily grind and to some of the difficulties that we may have to live with or deal with. Some we've chosen, we've put ourselves there in certain situations, and others, maybe they're there for a reason, to teach us. There are a cross to bear. But as you go, please take thanksgiving with you in your hearts. Behold, the season in which we use our liberty to celebrate Christ's birth is upon us. There is a road on the west side of the city of Thanksgiving, which leads to Christmas. And you've been there, many of you. Your inn is there, you know the one, the inn of your heart. We shall arrive there, I think, at just about the same time next week. And we'll check in on our property in that place. And if the Lord tarries, we'll do it here. But for today, let us pray from within the courts of praise in the city of Thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this season, which brings the prescribed attitude of our hearts to the forefront for the reminder of all of the blessings that we have received and that are available to us because of your goodness and the grace provision of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, may we live in them and take the blessings of our visit to your city this morning throughout the coming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.